Hey everybody, Wynn Claybaugh here, and thank you so much for listening in with this new podcast, which I'm thrilled about. But I have to tell you, we were talking before we started doing this recording, and I found out that I started doing podcasts in 1995, and this guy wasn't even born yet. So there you go. So
I'm excited. I love it.
I'm okay with that. I'm sitting here with, his name is Will Elliott. He goes by Coach Will. So first of all, thanks so much, Will, for being a part of this.
Of course. I'm super excited. I love talking about what I do, and I love talking about impacting kids. So I'm excited to be here.
Well, you're so connected. You're so busy. When I watch your social media and I'm thinking of the number of posts that you're putting out there, the content, I'm like, how does he find time to do all of that, let alone to respond to my DM? And I'm very, very grateful to that, because I think I've been following you for at least a year, because I have an 11-year-old daughter. And of course, I'm always looking. If you were to check my feeds and the types of people that I follow, probably 99% of them have to do with what does it take to raise a beautiful, healthy 11-year-old girl. And it's all I think about. It's what I lose sleep over at night. And so I came across you. But then as I was following you and watching your videos and your content, I kept on thinking, oh my gosh, the application of this information, what that could do to the business world. You know, I've got thousands of people in my organization, and I'm thinking these are grown adults in the workforce that absolutely need to be listening to the information of Coach Will. So again, Will, thank you so much for being a part of this. I want to give a bit more information on who he is. Will is one of the world's leading life coaches for teens. His business is Unstoppable You Coaching, and he helps kids with goal identification, making clear plans, success principles, habits, accountability. So again, as you're listening to that list, I'm sure you're all thinking as well, that's what my kids need to hear. That's what my boss needs to hear. That's what my adult children need to hear. That's what I need to hear. So you know why I've invited him to be a part of this. He has spent over 5,000 hours coaching students, has a current waiting list for private coaching at over 1,000 families long, and has grown a social media following to over 1 million. So Will, again, I'm so grateful that you're a part of this. They're going to get to know you and learn more about how they can connect with you. But just, you know, straight up, tell people how they can follow you and they can see what I've been following for the last year.
Yeah, well, thanks for being a follower. I absolutely love talking with my community, but it's Coaching with Will on Instagram. That's kind of where I post most of my content. I'm also on TikTok here and there, but Instagram is where the majority of my content is. So Coaching with Will.
Again, congratulations. So this is interesting. So Will, you're only 26 years old. And I like that because it wasn't all that long ago that you were a teen. And I'm sure that you get some flack for this. Wait a minute, how can you help me coach my kids? How can you give me parenting advice? You're only 26 years old and you don't have any kids yourself. How do you respond to that?
Yeah. Well, it's actually one of my favorite questions to respond to, just because I do get it a lot and I love it, because it is literally the reason why I'm so successful with kids, right? I bring a different perspective to parenting. I always like to say I'm the middleman. I am the relatable one that speaks the same language to kids. I absolutely understand everything that they're going through in this new age of social media, because again, it wasn't that long ago since I was a college student and even a high school student. While at the same time, I can communicate their needs and their wants and their heart a little bit better than they can to the parents. And so my approach to parents is that I am by no means a parenting expert, and I won't be probably until, you know, I have teenagers myself, and I at that point probably still won't be an expert, but I just communicate to the parents what their kids are telling me in our, you know, thousands of conversations that I have with kids every month, and hopefully it helps.
So you say that your passion for this began in college during a summer sales internship. Can you share that story with us? Give us the story of your grade school or middle school, I should say, high school experience, a college experience, sales experience that led you to where you are today.
Yes, I will try to summarize to the best of my ability, but I guess starting when I was in middle school and high school, I was very insecure. I wasn't confident. I would kind of consider myself having what I call fake confidence, which a lot of students are struggling with now. I like to kind of say my confidence and self-worth, pretty much everything under the sun, was very conditional, meaning I attached my confidence and self-worth into things like results and other people's opinions. And so the moment I got good results in sports, I played pretty much every sport under the sun, I was confident. But the moment that those results dropped, which was often, then I would feel totally worthless. And that's just not a consistent nor reliable way to have confidence or live and be happy. And so that's kind of where I started realizing that there was a problem. I was really looking to grow and improve that problem. So when I went to college, I ran track and cross country there, played a little bit of golf, and I got into this sales internship that allowed me to go door to door selling kids' books for almost 100 hours a week. So we'd start knocking at like 7:45 in the morning, and I'd knock until 10 o'clock at night. And I hated the sales parts of it because you get rejected thousands of times per summer. But I loved the personal growth. I loved the person that I was becoming in the process of doing something extremely uncomfortable, really hour after hour, minute after minute, to be completely honest. And so that's where my life totally changed. I looked at the things that I was learning. So the fear of rejection and self-talk and procrastination, taking action, all of those things, I realized I was really ready to learn those things when I was in high school. I just didn't have someone telling me to do that. So that's kind of where I had the idea to help other teenagers learn what I was learning, I think 4 years a little late. And that's kind of how I started doing what I'm doing. And so now, yeah, I absolutely love business. I love speaking business. I love the mindset behind business. What's made me a successful entrepreneur and a very fulfilled and I'd say stress-free entrepreneur are the same exact things that I'm helping students with stress-free school and stress-free college and motivation and mindset in what they're doing, you know, in their sports in school.
Well, if you're stress-free as an entrepreneur, we need to talk. I'm going to call you tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. We're going to have that conversation. That's okay.
Hey, that's my favorite thing to talk about.
Well, one of my favorite things to say is that I'd rather be stressed than bored. So, because I know a lot of people who are very, very bored, but man, the life of an entrepreneur, congratulations. Not always stress-free, but I'm glad that you are harnessing that and that you're applying that into your coaching. Obviously, that's super valuable. And you talk about what you call the three buckets of life: confidence, motivation, and time management. Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, it's a great place to start. I'd say there are more buckets of content that is relatable for teenagers and kids. Buckets of life, I might add a couple more, but yes, I'd say that's a good place to start the conversation.
So let's talk about each of those then. And how do those apply? Now, again, everybody knows I have ulterior motives here. Yes, I'm a dad and I want to tap into you for that. But again, because of the young adults and the team members that I have working with me and my company, you better believe, my gosh, confidence, motivation, and time management for raising a good employee. Absolutely, we need that information.
Yep, absolutely.
So, Will, why don't you touch on those three buckets: confidence, motivation, and time management.
Yeah, so going back to high school and even as an entrepreneur right now, those are the three things that if you can just find a balance in and you can manage a little bit better, I think there is an endless amount of possibilities and opportunities for you. I will say that motivation, time management, and confidence, I kind of split those things into even two systems. So how I coach myself, and this is ultimately my mission in life, is to help other people coach themselves through things, whether it's in business or school. There's a mental system and there's a physical system. The mental system of confidence, motivation, and time management comes down to self-talk. And so self-talk in my coaching is absolutely the foundation of everything, right? Like if you're telling yourself certain things and not like the cheesy affirmations, which sometimes do work, but when you're telling yourself specific things, you could have far more motivation than if you're telling yourself that this is purposeless or whatever. Same thing with confidence, same thing with time management. And there's also the physical systems, which is our physical habits, right? So those three things are, in my opinion, the foundation of all success. And they're definitely things that have helped me reach where I'm at. And also a ton of students help, you know, reach their potential.
So when you're starting, say, brand new in coaching a student, a teen, and you're addressing their mental capacity, how are you explaining to them what self-talk is all about? How are you walking them through? How are you helping them develop those good habits?
So I like to explain self-talk in two different ways. The first one is just what you say when you talk to yourself. And so whether it's a 10-year-old that I'm talking to, or whether it's a 28-year-old that's older than me, I just like to kind of bring up the idea that you are not your thoughts, but instead you get to watch your thoughts. And so how I phrase that is a little bit different depending on the age, but just bringing awareness to what you're thinking is one of the best skills that anybody can learn. Because if your goal is to reject negativity, which is honestly, you know, that leads to a lot of confidence in and of itself, is just rejecting negativity, then you have to be aware of it, right? You have to learn how to recognize the negativity in order to reject it. And so the more that we can practice this skill of just, okay, what are my thoughts, whether they're positive or negative or neutral, let's just practice that mindfulness is another way to describe that. And from there, we can work on, okay, how can we let go of negative and improve and increase positive thoughts?
Okay. Other things that I learned about you as I was studying your topics, you talk about conditional confidence versus unconditional confidence. What do you mean by that?
Conditional confidence is when you place your confidence and self-worth in things that you can't control. And so this is really what all humans do, whether it's entrepreneurs, whether it's parents, whether it's kids, we place our confidence and our self-worth in things like other people's opinions, things like results. And so when you think about having conditional confidence, you're riding this emotional roller coaster. And this is ultimately what I rode when I was in high school, right? My confidence was attached to other people's opinions, how many likes I was getting on social media, what my results were in sports. And I always like to say, if you're handing your confidence over to other people or your results on a silver platter, then you're never really in control of your confidence, which isn't a fun way to live. Whereas unconditional confidence is saying no matter what, right? No matter what, I'm going to be confident and secure in really two things, who I am and also what I can control. So my biggest thing for students is to be able to take control of their lives. And in order to do that, you got to take control of your confidence. And you do so by placing your confidence in things you actually can control, like your action, your effort, your thoughts, how you treat other people, those types of things.
So maybe this is a popular topic as you are coaching kids. And I'm not sure how much of this applies to young tween and teen boys. I see it absolutely with my tween and soon to be teen daughter. And then, of course, I see it with grown adults as well, just that little girl drama. Not that there isn't little boy drama, because I'm sure that there is, but little girl drama. How does that come up in the coaching that you do, and how do you help little girls move beyond that?
Yeah, that's a great question. It definitely happens in everybody's lives, right? I think middle school, high school girls specifically see it the most, because there's just so much friend drama. And this obviously happens with the boys as well, but there's so much friend drama. Social media, you know, brings in a totally different, you know, part of this. Who has more followers? You're constantly comparing yourself. Who gets more likes? And yeah, I think just bringing awareness to what is it that you can control, right? Like in school, I don't know about anyone else listening to this, but for me, I wasn't really taught or encouraged to even think about what was controllable and what wasn't controllable, right? Like that was never something that we learned in school. My parents probably planted that seed, but I didn't want to listen to my parents about controllables. And so I think really just coming down to their level and bringing awareness to the question of like, what's truly something that you can control in this situation? So if they're going through friend drama, asking them straight up, what can you control and what can't you control? They become unstoppable when they do their best with the things they can control and they surrender the rest. And the goal isn't full surrender for kids, because that's not going to happen. It's an unrealistic expectation. But the more we can shift their, like I said, the confidence and their self-worth to the things that are things like attitude, their thoughts and their character, good things happen for kids. And so it's a slow, gradual progression from, you know, I'm going to place a lot of my well-being in the uncontrollables to the controllables, but it's something that makes really lasting change, in my opinion, for decades.
How do you explain character to young kids and teenagers?
It's a great question. I would say just what are the things that make you who you are? I think the best way for me to bring up character to kids is honestly to get them to think about who they look up to, right? Like this is kind of a way for us to gauge what is important for kids. And so, for example, I go to them and I say, tell me about your hero. Tell me about what character traits you want to practice, or tell me about what character traits that you look up to in this specific person. And, you know, when I was a kid, I knew who that person was, but maybe I hadn't thought through why that person was someone that I looked up to. And the more that we can help them acknowledge that, okay, that person, maybe it's my parents, maybe it's a coach, maybe it's someone that I follow on social media. And I think this also has benefits to kind of challenge some of the people that they look up to on social media. Because if they don't necessarily know why they look up to those people, then I think that's a good thing to be aware of as well. But just reverse engineering. Okay, if that's the person that I want to be, what character do I need to start practicing now in order to be that person? And what character do I need to start, you know, working towards having right now in order to be that person?
So now I'm curious to know who was that person for you then?
So I say my parents for sure. My dad specifically. I had a track coach that was definitely a hero in my eyes in a lot of ways, but also I'll be fully transparent. I didn't have a very specific person that I looked up to and really wanted to be like. And that's essentially why I do what I do, is I want to be that for other people. I think my parents are great. And I had one track coach, but I didn't really look up to a whole lot of people outside of them.
Because I have a feeling that if people, and again, I'm talking about grown adults as well, are looking up to people that they follow on social media without you bringing that awareness or without them having that awareness of, okay, you're following that person, but why are you following that person? And maybe they're following the wrong people and they don't even realize that. How do you talk through that with a teenager?
Yeah.
And again, an adult, you're following the wrong people.
Yeah. It really comes down to the simple question of, is what I'm consuming, is it going to help me reach my goals? Is it helping me grow into the person that I want to become? And that's a really hard question, I think, for younger people. Whereas 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds, I hope that we've asked ourselves that. And if you haven't already, this is your sign to ask yourself, who do you want to become? Right? Like, not what do you want to do? Not what do you want to have in your life materialistically? But like, truly, who do you want to be remembered for? What legacy do you want to leave behind in this world? Because if you don't know that, then you're going to fall into the trap of just consuming content that the world says you should consume. You can't be very intentional about the things that you consume. So I think the first step is to get very, very specific and helping teenagers and kids look at and create a vision of who they want to become down the road. And then again, reverse engineering that to say, okay, well, what are the types of content that would help me get there? What are the types of content that would morph me and help me, you know, be wired to become that person? Because you are what you consume, right? Whether it's on social media, whether it's your friends, whether it's the parents, those types of things, right? You always have a choice what you are taking in and keeping as self-talk, or, you know, whether it's information that you should push out.
How much of the coaching that you do for parents is related to social media? Because I'm thinking that that's just got to be, my gosh, a huge big part of it. I always say, yeah, Thank goodness that social media didn't exist, you know, when I was in high school, or when I was starting off in business. I'm not sure that I would have survived that. And I just can't imagine what, you know, what kids and again, young adults are faced with when it comes to social media. And I have a feeling that parents might be coming to you just like totally at a loss. Like, how do I handle this?
The hard part is, and I agree, it's probably the number one question that I get. Number two, probably pretty close, is motivation towards school, but the number one is social media and screen time in general. So not just Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook or whatever, it's just video games, screen time in general. The hard part about this is that it's not a cookie cutter approach. I don't think it's crazy for me to say that I am not a huge believer in social media, let's say before the age of 15. The studies are very, very clear that it leads to a whole lot more depression, anxiety, and those types of things. And so I think parents listening or parents out there, there's no perfect way to go about social media. I empower parents, specifically parents of teenagers, to bring it up to their kids. And so invite their kids into the conversation of setting screen time boundaries. And I'll kind of explain why I tell parents that. I've seen a lot of students feel as though parents are constantly nagging them, and maybe rightfully so, right? You're always on screens, you're always getting distracted, but approaching kids and just saying, hey, you only get an hour, and this is specifically teens, right? Younger kids need a little bit more strict boundaries, but teenagers, they don't want to be really told what to do, even though that maybe that's sometimes what they need. They want to be invited into the process, and they need to be approached as a teammate rather than a general manager. Right? And so asking them the question, hey, what do you think is fair? It's just planting seeds as time goes on. It's kind of like a longer term approach to screen time, but it's asking, what do you think is fair? Okay, why do you think that? And then negotiating from that answer and then creating a consequence if those screen time boundaries aren't met. And really, again, the heart posture is the most important thing here, going into it with like, hey, I'm on your team. I know it's hard. Your whole social life revolves around screen time, whether it's on video games or Snapchat, which is a really hard balance to have as a kid. But the most important thing is they need you to know, or they need to know that you are on their team rather than someone that's just there to nag and focus more on their problems than their potential.
I think I just saw one of your recent postings. You said something along the lines of, you know, you can't be a prophet in your own country. And that's so true. It is difficult sometimes. Even in my company, I have a lot of wonderful friends who are brilliant speakers and motivational leaders, and they own their own companies. You know, they hire me to come in and talk to their people about the same thing that I hire them to come in and talk to my people about. You know, my people are sick of me, right? They want to hear it from somebody else. And I'm sure for parents, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely. My job would not exist if kids listen to parents. Like, I'm saying the same thing that parents are saying. It's just, it's coming from someone a little cooler. And, you know, my whole goal is to make it super fun. So, different language.
So if you were, this is a difficult question maybe. So if you were a parent today of a teenager, what would that screen time be limited to?
Again, it's not a cookie cutter approach. It really would depend on how they're using screen time. And what I mean by that is I think there's two ways kids use screen time. I've fallen into both of these buckets at some time, and still to this day, I fall into one of these two buckets. The first bucket is I'm going to use screen time as rest, right? Which absolutely happens. Parents and adults do this when it comes to maybe watching YouTube at night before bed, or maybe watching a TV show or their favorite movie. You're using it as a way to escape everyday stress, or as a way to rest from everyday stress. And that is okay, right? Like, that's awesome. That's a cool part about screen time. So all this to say, screen time, not all screen time is created equally, because the second kind of bucket of screen time is using things as an escape. And this is what most students do when they are getting distracted. When we, maybe entrepreneurs, we're scrolling on social media, or maybe we're watching YouTube videos to act like we are being productive, but we're really escaping uncomfortable feelings, right? So those are the two things that I think if parents can go into with the idea of, okay, if my kid is using it as rest from a really long day, that's totally different than if they're trying to escape their stress and anxiety using screens. So that's a hard question for me to answer, just because, it would really depend on how my kids are using those. But I think general rule of thumb, if I was a parent, I probably wouldn't want my kids to be on social media before maybe age 15. And it's just really hard. 2 or 3 hours a day, I think, is fair, depending on what they're doing on the screens and those types of things.
Do you have any gauge in knowing how much time kids are spending on social media.
Yeah.
So are you shocked that some of the kids that you coach are on much longer than that?
So I have a good gauge in my app. So I have a membership for teenagers and for parents. And we do a lot of screen time challenges. My whole goal is to make personal growth fun. And so I give out tons of gift cards. And kids who stay under a certain amount of screen time, like they'll get a gift card. And so I have an idea. Some students are at 3 hours. Some students are at 10, right? Am I surprised? Not at all. Not at all. Because I think screen time gives students a very good escape from life. And I will also mention that adults, I mean, it's the same thing. It's about, 5 to 6 hours. So, you know, I think it's a problem with everybody, not just students. So I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but I would love more than anything to bring that down to less than 9 hours a day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So you talk about something called zooming out. What does that mean?
Zooming out is ultimately having a different perspective on what you're stressed about. This is kind of an idea that I give a lot to parents and also kids and also me as an entrepreneur. When I said it, that I was a very stress-free entrepreneur, I mean that because I'm very zoomed out. I have, a different perspective that I used to have when I was really stressed. And so zooming out just means looking at the bigger picture. And I think that can help really every human being living on planet Earth. I think we need to do that more often.
Okay, give me an example of that.
So I can give you an example of a student that I've worked with. I mean, this is pretty much every single student that I've worked with, by the way. But in my app, there are a group of students who get really, really stressed about school. And I was also this person. School didn't come easily to me. And so I definitely thought that I wasn't going to be successful because I wasn't, quote unquote, successful in school. So a lot of these students, they are so stressed out. They have so much pressure on themselves, whether it's from external, sources or internal. And zooming out is ultimately asking yourself, is what I'm stressed about going to be something I'm stressed about in 5 months? Is it going to be something that I'm stressed about in 5 years? And so there's a lot of students in my app that will ask themselves that question and their stress kind of just melts away because they realize that the things that cause 95, and obviously I don't know the exact percentage, but 95% of their stress, anxiety, and just negative feelings in general are things that probably won't matter in a week, let alone 5 months or 5 years from now. So that's an example of zooming out. I think from the parents' perspective, even more so than kids are, they are so zoomed in on what is happening at school. And that is causing them to only talk about school, to get super stressed about their own parenting habits and those types of things. If you can just look at the bigger picture, zoom out, and if loving your kids unconditionally, helping them build character, 5 years from now, you won't be worried about 95% of the things that you're worried about right now.
Wow, I can so relate to this. Because we are super involved and we know the details of homework assignments and teachers and girl drama and activities coming up. And we're very, very aware of all of that. And of course, we want all the updates. You know, we communicate directly with the teachers and the counselors. And then, of course, she gets in the car at the end of a long day. Now she started school at 8 o'clock and she's finishing at 4:30 after tutoring. And first thing we ask is, oh, tell us about your day. She doesn't want to talk about her day. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, if somebody asked me about my long day, I don't want to talk about it either. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's not, all those things, holding your kids accountable, being involved in the process, those are all healthy things. It's more of, is what I'm stressed about going to be something that is really meaningful in, a couple of months even. And the more that we as parents, or I should say we as adults, zoom out, inevitably and very subconsciously, we help kids zoom out as well. And that's just a healthier way to live, in my opinion.
Great input. So I have to tell you something. On some of the postings and information that you put out there, you actually script parents on the types of text messages they can send to their kids. And by the way, I've like cut and pasted those and I've used them.
I love it.
I think this is kind of a sidebar, but tell us what some of those postings are. They're great, by the way.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have any on the top of my head, but the whole idea of communicating with your teen, and this is kind of a deeper way to answer this question, is to help them feel seen, heard, loved, and understood. Like, they just want to feel understood. And so a lot of the text messages and the scripts that I send over on Instagram is all around the idea of, hey, I see that you're going through a hard time. Just know I'm not here to fix it. I'm just here to be there. Like, I think there's so much power in just being there for kids and being there without any agenda. But for example, saying things like, hey, I know things are stressful right now. I also know that you're going to figure it out. I'm here whenever you need me. Right. So showing up with the posture, I'm not here to fix. I'm just here to be here. Right. Another one is, I've been thinking about you today. I know being a teenager is hard, right? Validating what they're going through. You have what it takes to get through. I'm super proud of you. So it's kind of a combination of validation. So validating what they're feeling. Also validating that they can get through whatever they're going through. And you're there to lean on along the way. And also, I always like to encourage parents to say this all the time. I'm super proud of you, or you should be proud of yourself. That's what they are craving, even if it doesn't seem like they are.
And by the way, when I say that I've copied those text messages and sent them not only to my daughter, I've also revised them and sent them to team members. Because I know grown adults who are 50 years old who absolutely need to receive that text message from me.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's all human to human stuff, right? And this isn't correlated to everything, but what makes a good relationship with a teenager is what makes a good relationship with any human being, right? If you're showing that you understand, or you are seeking to understand someone's heart, or you're seeking to understand their side of things, good things will happen, right? Like, if you're showing up to conversations without an agenda, good things will happen in relationships, whether it's with your teen or a team member or a boss or an employee. That's super cool to hear. I think that's awesome. Scripts are a very easy, tangible way for me for help.
And they're so powerful. Maybe you've already answered this question, but what's the biggest mistake that you find that parents are making when it comes to their kids?
I would say the biggest thing, and I'm gonna answer this from the kids' perspective, if that's cool, because that's what I'm an expert in. I know exactly what the kids are telling me. Can I answer like top two?
Absolutely.
Can I do a top
two?
Okay. So the first one, they kind of go hand in hand. The first one is lecturing, turning little things into a life lecture. I think there's a huge difference between lecturing and nagging, where, so let's say, for example, a kid comes home from school and they are like, I didn't get a good grade on a test. And they're feeling super sad about it, right? They're feeling super sad. And this happens often. This happened with a lot of the students that I coach as well. They come to their parents, I didn't get a good grade on a test. And the parents in that moment feel like it's a great time to lecture how important school is, or how much they need to study for the next time. And in that moment, your kid does not need a lecture. The difference between a lecture and, let's say, planting seeds of wisdom is just their openness to what you're saying. So if they're closed-minded and they're feeling emotional, it's lecturing. If they are open, and maybe they even come to you for advice, which will happen if you do this, if you're really seeking to understand their heart, then it's guiding, and you're planting seeds of wisdom. And so that's kind of the first one, is turning little things into life lectures and failing to seek to understand them. And then kind of along the same lines, only talking about school. I've worked with lots of parents who their kids are getting A's and B's, and they're really only talking about school after school. And you kind of gave this example, but I mean, if you as a parent go to your job that you hate, that you naturally aren't good at, you don't like the people that you're working with, maybe you hate the boss, and you aren't seeing good results. I mean, imagine, put yourself in that situation, because that's where most kids are with school. And then you come home from work and your partner or your kids or your parents are calling you up, hey, how is work? And they are trying to give advice on how to do better at work. Like, that's the last thing you want to hear as an adult. That's kind of how your kids are feeling, right? Like, they hate school. They despise it. They're not that great at it because it's really not working in the way that their brain is supposed to work, in my opinion. And so when you make school the center of every conversation, it reinforces the idea that I hate school, first off. And it also doesn't show that you see their potential. And I think that's a huge thing here. Kids feel as though parents are only fixating on their problems, what they're not doing at school, the screen time that they have. And they don't feel like anyone in life is seeing their potential. And it gets me emotional to talk about, because that's essentially why, I mean, I do my job, because I want to help kids see their potential and I want to help parents make that shift from problems to potential. But instead of making school the center of every conversation, really go out of your way to invest in their interests. Ask them about video games, if they really love video games. Ask them about their sports. Ask them open-ended questions about, you know, dance or whatever they're interested in. And I promise you, as time goes on, they're going to be far more open to listening about school than if you only make school the center of the conversations.
Wow. I mean, just those two words of advice about not lecturing and only talking about school. Are there other common things that come up? And I'm curious to know how many times parents hire you and their message to you is fix my kids.
Yeah, well, that's the primary message that parents send me. And that's usually when I help them with that shift, right? They don't really have problems to fix. The more that we help them see their potential, the problems, quote unquote, the problems usually take care of themselves, right? Because they have people believing in them. But I'd say a very common theme is, yeah, the whole problems to fix.
Well, as a coach for businesses, a company will hire me to come in and that's the boss. You need to fix my people. You need to teach my people how to be more motivated. And after spending time with the boss, I'm thinking, wow, you're the one who needs this one-on-one right now. I'm sure that comes up for you. When parents are saying, fix my kids, and you're thinking, your kids are doing okay. Let's talk about your parenting.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it comes down to perspective. And I'll bring this back up as well, just because the grass is always greener on the other side. And there's always going to be people ahead of you to compare yourself to or to compare your kids to. Whereas, let's say there's a parent out there who their kids are doing well in school. So let's say A's, B's, and C's. I'm going to throw in C's in there as well. So A's, B's, and C's, they're, let's say, spending a couple hours of time on video games. They treat people well. They have a good group of a couple friends, right? Like, I know millions of families that would look at that situation and be like, I would do anything to have that. Whereas that is the family that is stressed and worried and so anxious about their kid's future. And they're looking ahead of being like, I wish I had another friend. So the grass is always greener. And the more that you can just be present, enjoy your kids, you know, who they are, encourage them to continue to follow through with their passions or even start looking into different passions, good things will happen for sure.
Wow, such great advice. And I feel like I'm jumping all over the place, but, and maybe my other ulterior motive is to get a free session from you as a parent, but talk about homework.
Homework is tough.
Kids and parents through the homework situation.
Yeah. Well, what exactly? I'm going to ask you a follow-up question because I would never give advice to anybody without knowing the situation. So be more specific with the homework.
That sometimes it just feels like it's a lot. It's a lot. I've already been away from my daughter, you know, most of the day. Now I want time with her and it's another hour or two. And I know it's something that I need to get over. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We got to get through it, but just got to make sure that it's a healthy environment.
Yeah. I like to think about quality time over quantity time sometimes. I mean, I really do think my parents did this really well. I hated school. I was not good at school, as in it didn't come easily to me. And my parents knew that that was a really stressful time for me personally.
Through high school and college?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just high school. Everything changed when it came to school when I was in college, which I can tell you more about. But when it came through all the way through high school, I gave my parents a really hard time. I didn't focus. I wanted to play video games. And they did a really good job helping me through those moments, And so if your kid, let's say, is stressed, I coach a lot of kids who just hate school. And so in those moments, create an environment for them to do school. And the goal is not for them to love school or love homework. Like, that's not a good expectation to have. Try your best to make school and homework suck a little less. Like, that's kind of the whole idea of a lot of my coaching when it comes to homework. Right. I think just going into it, wanting your kid to be insanely motivated towards school, like, that's just not going to happen for the majority of kids. So create an environment that is just a little bit more fun. Reward them. A lot of parenting experts out there say, don't reward your kids. I have no idea where I would be without rewards. Starbucks drinks, more screen time. So, you know, personally, obviously, it's just anecdotal, but I thrived off of rewards. And it didn't do any long-term damage for me, I don't think. And so, yeah, just make it suck a little less. And I think kids will really appreciate that. And then pair that with really quality time, doing the things they love, keeping school talk off limits, maybe on the weekends, maybe a specific day of the week, having a little date night or a date morning. My dad always used to take me to Starbucks on Monday mornings, and school was off limits, right? Like, no school talk. We just talked about what I was interested in, which I really appreciated.
Wow. Again, great advice. Yep. So pretend that you are on stage in front of 1,000 people your age, and you're talking to them about some of these topics, the same topics of zooming out, of building confidence, of self-talk, of all these same things, these same topics that you are coaching parents and teens about. What would your message be to that audience your age?
Oh, I have so many messages. My favorite is kind of what I mentioned a little bit earlier, and that is thinking about who you want to become. The world does a really, really good job at telling us that the really only important parts of our vision of our future is what we want to have, whether it's materialistically, it doesn't have to be either. It can also be, memories or a family, and also what we want to do. But we never think about who we want to become, the legacy that we want to leave behind. It's the fundamental and the core root of why you're doing what you're doing. And the more specific that you can get on that, right? It's kind of the framework that I talk about that's called be, do, have. I'm going to try to explain this because it's a really complicated kind of thing. But the world tells you that you must have in order to do. So you must have $1 million in order to start a business. And then you can be successful. Or students, you must have a good group of friends, 10 different friends, so that you can go to the parties, so I can do the things that popular kids do. And once I do the things that popular kids do, then I can be confident, right? So we kind of get brainwashed into thinking you must have in order to do, and then you must do in order to be who you want to be. Wow. Okay. Whereas I think it's the opposite. I think it's the other way around. Is I'll make the argument the most fulfilling way to live life. And that is, no, I don't want to rely on what I need to have and do in my life. I want to become the person that I want to become. So maybe that's hardworking. One of the big things in my life is just consistent, right? I want to be consistent in my business. I want to be consistent with the people in my life. I want to be consistent with my dog, right? And because I'm consistent, I can have faith that I will do things that consistent people do. And because I do things that consistent people do, I will have things that I'll probably, always dreamed of having. But it all flows from your character. It all flows from who you are. And yeah, everything flows from who you are. And I think that's a beautiful thing because we're in control of who we are, and we can make decisions every day to actively work towards who we want to be and leaving behind the legacy that we want to leave behind in this world. So I know it's a deep way to kind of answer that question, but that's my favorite thing to coach on. And that's what I needed to hear, I think, the most when I was about 20 years old. It changed my life.
Wow. No, I like deep conversations that have a purpose and have a meaning. So I was with you.
I love it.
The way. Good for you.
Cool.
So pretend that you are on stage in front of a bunch of parents. And again, maybe you've already answered this question, but the best advice that you just want to shake parents to say, listen up, what would that advice be?
Yeah. Catch your kids doing things right. Don't fixate on the things that they're doing wrong. it's such a small shift. And you know, it really, I don't want to say it solves the whole potential versus problems things that we were talking about earlier, but your kids crave for you to validate them. Again, whether or not you feel like they do or not, they are coming to you. They're looking at you for validation. And if you are catching them doing little things right, then they will want to do more of those little things right. And they will also want to do more big things right. They just feel so, they're so convicted that they can't do anything right. And this is one of the things that they tell me pretty much every single session. It's like, my parents only care about school because I'm not doing well in school. Or my coaches only care about the things that I'm not good at in my sport. And so the more you can catch them doing little things right and say, hey, I noticed that you took the dishes over. I really appreciate that. Something as small as that. Or, hey, I noticed that you studied for 2 hours without me asking you. Or I noticed you studied for 2 minutes without me asking you, right? Depending on what boat you're in. I'm super proud of you for that. And the more you give them validation and affirmation around the things that might be small to you, but are very big for them, then it builds momentum. Momentum is what will change their life.
Wow. And again, as you're saying that, I remember, and it was years ago, talking about the importance of a boss, of a manager, catching their team doing things right. You know, next time they show up to work on time, congratulate them for that. And I had this boss raise his hand, like, I'm not going to do that. That's their job to show up on time. I'm not going to congratulate them and thank them for being on time. And then he said, how do you soar with eagles when you're working with a bunch of turkeys? The challenge you have is in thinking that your people are turkeys. And if that's what you believe about them, that's how they're going to show up. So
exactly. Wow. Yeah. I think it's important for everyone. And you know, whoever's listening to this, I want to be caught doing things right. Right. Everyone does. Life is so much about momentum. And if we feel like we are doing things right consistently, whether they're small or big, we are building momentum, and momentum builds confidence. Momentum builds motivation. Momentum builds better time management skills, going back to the three buckets.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell us about this app that you have. How does that work? How do people find out about it?
Yeah. So if you go to app.unstoppableyoucoaching.com, that's where all the information is. But essentially, I have a custom app for students and parents. And it's a membership where I coach students, but I also supplement the student coaching with parent coaching. So for example, right now, we're actually just starting in the end of March, a whole cohort and a whole 14-week series on confidence. So we'll dive into recognizing thoughts, we'll dive into self-talk, comparison, screen time, energy, procrastination, motivation, all these different things. And I'll have weekly sessions with them. And those sessions are crazy. I am insanely energetic when I'm talking to kids. I speak their language. And I give out gift cards. So we do challenges. I post almost daily in the app. And I also, like I said, coach the parents as well. So for example, how can the parents help their kids with self-talk as they're learning about what self-talk is? How can you lead by example? How can you work on your own personal life? Because again, it's human to human coaching. And it's kind of a system that I've seen work for thousands of families, you know, raise their confidence, raise their motivation, raise their connection. So just improve their connection with their kids. And it's so much fun. I absolutely love every second of it. Kids do too.
So tell me more about how this works. So they're live with you, or just content is being sent to them through this app? I mean, explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of both. The bread and butter of my membership is the live sessions. So I'll go live. There's four different options for families to tune into each week, but I'll go live and everything is fully anonymous. Everything's fully private. And kids prefer that because they don't have to open up to some random Instagram guy or TikTok guy that their mom showed them about their entire life or about their deepest, darkest secrets. A lot of them come from therapy. They didn't like therapy and they didn't get a whole lot out of it. But they need action steps. They need the tools. And so they show up and it's just a kind of a glorified live stream, super fun live stream with a chat. Everyone's asking questions in the chat and I make it a very discussion based. So let's say someone says in the chat, I'm really struggling with bullying, right? I'll read that out knowing that they're going to be fully anonymous and That way, all the other students know they're not alone if they're getting bullied, if that makes sense. And so I'll kind of make it kind of a conversation like that. So they get the best of both worlds. They get the privacy while also knowing that they're not alone in any of the problems they're going through.
Wow. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Wow. So Will, as we start to wrap this up, do you have a final message for our listeners? Understanding that, again, some of these listeners are parents, and so maybe there's a separate message to them. Some of them are brand new professionals entering the workforce, or maybe 5 to 10 years in the workforce. And then you're also talking to leaders. So there's people who are super old like me, and they have a team that they're managing on a regular basis. And for me, that means keeping them engaged, because when people are not engaged, you know, we oftentimes think that the only solution is to fire them, but you can't fire your way into building a better team of people.
Yeah. I think the overarching message that I send to all humans out there is try your best to be as present as possible with the situation that you're in. If you're going through something hard, then don't push those feelings down. Don't push the experience down, but try your best to be present in the experience, whether it's with other people. Do your best to show up to conversations, whether you're a boss or whether you're a parent, whether you're a kid. Be present and seek to understand the other person rather than showing up with an agenda. I think being present is the answer to so many things, and it's something that I struggle with but still continue to work on. And I think it makes great leaders. I think it makes great humans, and it usually leads to love, which I think is the answer to everything.
Wow. Well, again, congratulations on what you're doing. And I'm hoping that people truly, when you're done listening to this, that they go over to your social media and they just watch 2 or 3 or 20 or 50 of your videos. They're short. I think I asked you when you and I were talking live a couple of months ago, I was like, mm-hmm. who does your content? And you're like, oh, I do it all. Like, how do you create it? How do you edit it? And so congratulations on what you're putting out there. Is short and quick and to the point. And
thank you.
And some of them are videos and some of them are just cut and paste. And here, use this. Here's some great ideas. It's really incredible. I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much, Flynn. I appreciate it.
Well, again, thanks so much, everybody. Enjoy this. I know that you have people that you're going to want to share this with. So please go ahead and do that. And Will, anything I can do for you, please always reach out to me.
I appreciate you, Wayne. Thanks for listening, y'all.